This is A Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott alongside Dennis O'Hare. Well, Dennis, you know, in the hotter months, most Atlantans try to keep cool in the shade, but not the city's urban farmers. They have to brave the sun to harvest their seasonal squash, beans, and tomatoes. And we just sort of had an unofficial poll. We all love tomatoes here.
Yep.
Well, Truly Living Well is a center for urban agriculture right here in the heart of the old Fourth Ward. And Rashid Nouri is its founder. He's here with us today to talk about summer farming and what you need to know to keep all your plants, vegetables happy, like those tomatoes. Thank you for coming in and taking time. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you, Miss Rose. It's a pleasure to be here.
This week has been pretty warm, okay, but last week was hot. Besides different crops, is there a sort of a different approach to, I guess, urban agriculture in the summertime and what people need to know in terms of, you know, their vegetables?
Well, you know, how we Truly Living Well, Center for Natural Urban Agriculture, we grow food, we grow people, and build community through the work that we do. We teach people urban agricultural techniques. We don't use a lot of machinery.
Sure.
Everything we do at the center and all the thousands of people come through, the work is done with a hoe, a rake, and a shovel. And I think that's important because that's all the equipment you really need to be able to grow food in the city. So that's in terms of techniques. What was the rest? Other question?
Well, it's hot now. So, you know, what should people think about? Do they need to change anything? Do they need to change the soil up? Do they need to take, other than obviously water, but what else do they need to know?
Well, first thing, a lot of people try to grow food. And we teach that it's important to build soil. That's the most important thing. If you have the soil is healthy, the plants are going to be healthy. And you don't have to get out there with a whole lot of chemicals and sprays trying to kill bugs and disease because the plants will take care of themselves. So build the soil, feed the soil. God will grow the food.
Really? When we say feed the soil, how?
Compost, compost, compost. It's the most important thing that you can do.
Sounds like, well, of course, we in news deal with different sorts of compost, but we're talking about so when
send your emails to
there
Dennis
you go.
O'Hare.
But it's how you work it into the soil too. I mean, you don't just put it out there, and you have to know what kind to get. So if you're starting out, what sorts of things should you look for, and do you have to go get, you know, something that might be fairly expensive at a garden supply store?
No, you can make your compost
make your own
at home, starting with the waste that you have in your kitchen. You know, what we want you to do is look at nature. Try to emulate nature. If you look out there, Atlanta is blessed. It's the greenest city in America by virtue of trees and open space. And if you look out at any wooded area, what you're going to find is that the trees drop their leaves. They create a humus. Mm-hmm. Organic material, and that recycles. That goes down and comes back up next year, and it keeps recycling. That's all you really need to do. So yeah, you can incorporate compost into your soil, or you can just lay it on top, and it's gonna feed your dirt. If you buy it at one of the retail outlets to get compost, all the materials you're gonna get from Home Depot, Lowe's, or any nursery is inert, it's sterile. They've had to cook it, okay. So there's no life in it. You need to inoculate it. So if you go out into the woods near your house and get some of that leaf mold, put that in with that compost, you're gonna end up with some good stuff. Because you wanna see earth. Earthworms are the best way to judge the quality of your soil. You look for roly-polies and millipedes and centipedes. You want life. You want that soil to be alive. You want to look for, when you turn over a leaf in the woods, you see all that white mycelium, that fungus? That's the good stuff. That's how the plants communicate with each other.
Okay, so I'm going to use myself as an example, and I'm probably not alone. Number one, I live in the city.
Mm.
Number two, you mentioned the leaves. I've got an enormous leaf pile that I put, you know, a fence around and just left it. So it's probably way behind in terms of what it could be as a source of compost. It's just a giant pile of leaves. How do I turn that into good compost? It's been sitting there for years.
You can either be very patient or you can add some fuel to it.
And okay.
The fuel is the green material, all the stuff that comes out your kitchen, all the waste from your kitchen. Shredded paper that you may have. You want to add that too. That's going to be similar to the leaves, but you need some green material in there. What I do is all my kitchen scraps go into the freezer until I can get them to the compost at the farm.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So just work that into this big pile of leaves.
Layer it if you can.
Okay.
All right. So if you put a layer of the green material, cover it up with the leaves, and just let it sit. Just keep layered as you go along. And about at the end of the year, it'll be ready to put back in your garden.
Are you supposed to turn it over? I keep
you can. If you turn it, and what makes the compost cook is the water and air. It's a spontaneous combustion that takes place in the garden.
And we're talking about the hot weather, so I'm imagining too. Can people also they panic and it's been hot and they think, oh, I got to add more water. Can they overwater, and can that hurt a particular crop?
A crop or the compost?
Well, let's start with the crop, or even the compost.
Yeah, no, you're really not going to overwater your compost. It might get soggy, but it'll dry out eventually. In terms of the garden, yeah, you can drown your plants if you put too much water in there. You can drown those roots if the water sits. This is why the compost becomes so important, because it'll absorb the water and hold it for the plant's use. If you notice, if you got a clay soil that has no organic material in it, that water sits right up on top of it. All right? And if you have a plant that's sitting in that, it will drown. But if you have sufficient organic material in your soil, it will absorb that water and prevent any kind of drowning.
We're talking with Rashid Noori of Truly Living Well. That's an urban agriculture center right in the old Fourth Ward. And one of the things that, because besides being a space for growing food, education is what you're
that's
also
our main,
very important.
That's the main thing we do.
What's the main thing that people have to learn, those that are getting into it, when they come in, they say, I know nothing, help me. What's the first rule?
Wealth, all health, all life begins and ends with the soil.
Okay, then after you move beyond that, then they say, okay, now what?
Then I'm going to teach them about compost. We like working with the children. This year we have six sessions of summer camp. The children come out and see the children get their hands in the dirt. They learn. They may not have eaten fruits and vegetables before they came to us, but by the time their camp session is over, they're bringing their parents out and say, hey, mommy, daddy, I want to eat this. I want to eat that. You know, if you meet somebody who's kind of flighty, you say they're not well grounded. What they need to do is come out and put their hands in the soil, put their feet in the dirt, and become grounded. And I think that's what we do. We reconnect people back to the soil and help them to understand how important it is in the total life on the whole planet.
So education is key in the beginning as well.
That's what we really are. Truly Living Well Center for Natural Urban Agriculture is an educational institute. We use food production as a leverage for our educational programs. And then through that process, we build community, create jobs, economic development.
Do you then go and address what we've heard a lot about in our broadcasts here, which is areas of the metropolitan area where they don't have the access to the fresh produce?
Well, yeah, that's a very good question, Dennis. The answer is yes, but and the word that you didn't use, and I'm glad, is food desert. That's what the USDA has designated. And food desert is a very bad term, because it's really an economic issue of access to food. You have folk that live on the north side here in Atlanta in wealthy neighborhoods who have to travel just as far as Miss Ann down in the south side. Mm-hmm. The difference is Miss Ann has to take two buses and a train, whereas Miss Smith up here in the north side can jump in her Lexus and drive to the store. So it's about economic access to the food. So yes, we do address those issues, and we take it one step further. We now have our second food co-op that we've started down in the Bedford Pine Apartments on the Boulevard neighborhood. So we try to reach people through their food. We have a co-op. They get their fresh food from us. These are people who have an average income of $5,000 a year.
Well, I was just going to say, you mentioned Bedford Pine. That is a prime example of a community that's challenged economically, and there's been some focus, I know, with council member Kwanzaa Hall that had some focus on that area. How important is it when we talk about understanding, addressing that issue? We won't call it a food desert, and helping lift people.
Lift them up.
Yes.
You know, Kwanzaa Hall's Yo Boulevard initiative is really fantastic, because it is a total community involvement. We have us who are growing the food, but you have the churches that are involved. You got the city councilman who's involved. You have Joan Garner, who the Fulton County commissioner. Mm-hmm. All the politicians are involved, and we're working with those people. So we have set up that co-op there. It's the Yo Boulevard Food Co-op, and those folks are running their own co-op today. Now we started a second cohort.
How do you then translate? Okay, you open a co-op in an area where they haven't had easy access to good fresh food. How does the co-op, number one, keep going? And number two, if you prove there's a demand for it, and then, you know, a bigger, more commercial establishment moves in, is there enough there to sustain either or both of those things?
It's a great question. I don't know if I have that full answer. I'll tell you what we're doing. The folk that we provide in the fresh food from our farms, and we farm 52 weeks a year. The dry goods are coming from the Atlanta Community Food Bank. The people are able to get this food at a great discount. They're meeting once a week to gather the food and distribute it amongst themselves. So it's really a self-sustaining organization. We have given them training in nutrition, food preparation. They're going through the economics of running the co-op. They have raised money. They raise a great deal of money to support themselves.
And then how do you keep it going? Let's say it's fairly easy to stock a co-op in the summertime and into the fall, but come wintertime, how do you keep it going, and how do you keep people supplied?
That's the beautiful part of a local food economy. As I said, as the greenest city in America, we able to grow food 52 weeks a year here in Atlanta. So we have food for people, fresh food for people year round, and the food bank has the dry goods for them year round. So it's an ongoing thing.
You're the founder of Truly Living Well, and this model has worked well in a lot of other cities as well. Are you looking to expand this at all throughout the region or even any other parts of the state?
Not as Truly Living Well, but yes, as supporters of folks trying to create a local food economy. A local food economy is local. It has to be an initiative that's community-based. It comes out of the community and is relevant to the community in which the work is being done. So the answer is yes. I'm the immediate past chairman of Georgia Organics, who has just received a large grant from the Blank Foundation to help establish food education programs throughout the state of Georgia. On a national basis, we collaborate with a number of people around the country. We know those of us in this business know each other. We meet during the year at various conferences. So the work is spreading. You know, the agricultural system, we know it today, as today, is broken. It doesn't work. And I think that since America has now become an urban society with 81% of Americans living in city, as contrasted with 95% who lived on the farm at the mm-hmm. beginning of the last century. So it's a new paradigm of local food. I think that bringing food from 1,500, 2,000 miles to the city to eat, that's not going to be able to continue to work. It's changing.
All right. Rashid Nouri of Truly Living Well, thank you so much for coming in and taking the time. We appreciate that. Thank you.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me. It's
Thanks
nice to
for
meet
coming.
Both of you. Peace be unto you all.
And to you.